And so I want to go to God's word today, because that's what's going to hold us and sustain us. It will sustain you no matter what you go through. And so we've been in this series looking at the life of Joseph. And the life of Joseph is one of the clearest illustrations of who Jesus is. So we're going to spend time getting to know Joseph's story and then see how it helps us just to get a little bit deeper understanding of who Jesus is. And so week one, Dustin Lead had a great message looking at part of Joseph's life, how he walked in submission to his father. Like Jesus, Joseph submitted to the will of his father, even though he was hated by his brothers. We get a window into the life of Jesus as well. Last week, Eric Scott had a great message on this, how Joseph walked in faithfulness. Like Jesus, Joseph was faithful. He remained faithful. Even while he was falsely accused and he was put in prison unjustly, he remained faithful. And so today I want to continue looking at Joseph's story, picking right up where we left off last week, to look at how Joseph was an example of patience. Joseph honored God with patience. I don't know about you, but for me, waiting patiently is not always intuitive. Think about what it means to wait patiently. Waiting is just simply you're anticipating, you're ready for whatever's coming next. But patience means you're diligent, you're persevering, not giving up, even while you're waiting. And so think about Joseph for a moment. He was in prison, and he was waiting for God to fulfill this purpose that God put on his life, this dream that God gave Joseph, and he was just waiting in prison. And so it begs me to ask you the question, have you ever been in a season of waiting that felt like a prison? And I would go take it a step further and say, I don't know if you really know what level of patience you have until you've been tested by a season of waiting. A season of delay. What does it mean to be delayed? Delay means to impede progress. And I don't know about you, but whenever progress is impeded, I feel frustrated. But when we're in a season of delay, I don't know what your first response is, but think about it. Have you ever been delayed? Do you ever have a flight delayed? What's your response? It's like, oh, good, more time in an airport. What a blessing. Have you ever ordered something and they said it would come in 2 days and it took 2 weeks? It's like, oh good, more time to wait. But when you're in a season of delay, my observation is it's so tempting. There's a strong drift to being self-absorbed, self-centered, self-focused. Why did this happen to me? But you know, if you're in a season of delay, that does not justify any kind of behavior. If you're delayed, that doesn't justify complaining. It doesn't justify doing nothing, just sitting back and saying, okay, I guess I'm just not gonna do anything. It doesn't justify being short-sighted and trying to force something through. It doesn't justify having a victim mindset. But so often it can leave, waiting can just feel and move you to just feel like it's just about me. And so I think it's very important to see, how did Joseph honor God? If you don't remember anything else that I say today, I want you to remember, here's a big idea for today, that like Jesus, Joseph honored God by serving others while he waited patiently. And when you serve others while you wait, that waiting is not wasted. And so let's look at how Joseph did this. If you would go to Genesis chapter 40, and if you can remember last week, this is when Joseph was in prison because he was falsely accused. So let's read Genesis chapter 40, verse 1. Sometime later, Pharaoh's chief cupbearer and chief baker offended their royal master. Pharaoh became angry with these two officials, and he put them in the prison where Joseph was, in the palace of the captain of the guard. They remained in prison for quite some time, and the captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, who looked after them. While they were in prison, Pharaoh's cupbearer and baker each had a dream one night, and each dream had its own meaning. When Joseph saw them the next morning, he noticed that they both looked upset. "Why do you look so worried today?" he asked them. And they replied, "We both had dreams last night, but no one can tell us what they mean." "Interpreting dreams is God's business," Joseph replied. "Go ahead and tell me your dreams." So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream first. "In my dream," he said, "I saw a grapevine in front of me. The vine had three branches that began to bud and blossom, and soon it produced clusters of ripe grapes. I was holding Pharaoh's wine cup in my hand, so I took a cluster of grapes and squeezed the juice into the cup. Then I placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand." "This is what the dream meant, what the dream means," Joseph said. "The three branches represent 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift you up and restore you to your position as chief cupbearer. And please remember me and do me a favor when things go well for you. Mention me to Pharaoh so he might let me out of this place. For I was kidnapped from my homeland, the land of the Hebrews, and now I'm here in prison, but I did nothing to deserve it." I probably would have done the same thing, Joseph. When this guy gets free, "Hey, would you mention my name? I'm here unjust causes." Verse 16, when the chief baker saw that Joseph had given the first dream such a positive interpretation, he said to Joseph, "I had a dream too. In my dream, there were three baskets of white pastries stacked on my head. The top basket contained all kinds of pastries for Pharaoh, but the birds came and ate them from the basket on my head." "Well, this is what the dream means," Joseph told him. "The three baskets also represent 3 days. 3 days from now, Pharaoh will lift you up and impale your body on a pole. Then birds will come and peck away at your flesh." Congratulations. Verse 20, so Pharaoh's birthday came 3 days later, and he prepared a banquet for all his officials and staff. He summoned his chief cupbearer and chief baker to join the other officials. He then restored the chief cupbearer to his former position so he could again hand Pharaoh his cup. But Pharaoh impaled the chief baker, just as Joseph had predicted when he interpreted his dream. Now just think about where Joseph would be when he saw the dream's interpretation was coming to reality. This is his ticket out of prison. And verse 23, I think, creates a lot of emotion for me when I read it. Because I can just imagine being in Joseph's position here. Verse 23 says, Pharaoh's chief cupbearer, however, forgot all about Joseph, never giving him another thought. This all happened in prison. I was in prison once. I was visiting. Saw some of your faces. Wait, what? But Kelly and I had the opportunity to visit the prison. We worked with a ministry that around Christmas time you could bring gifts and interact with people who were in their cell. And so we got to go into the cell on the men's side and got to talk through the door, and we gave them a gift, and we got to pray with them and just talk with them. A couple observations that I had. First of all, my observation were these men were much more interested in talking to Kelly than to me. Secondly, I noticed they talked about their kids, almost every single one. Couldn't wait to get out and talk to their children again. Third observation I had about this is that when you're in prison, and I know this is stating the obvious, but you really don't have any freedom in a prison. You don't get to do what you want to do. You are told what to do, and you have to do what the warden tells you to do. And so think about Joseph in a prison, really not having any freedom, and he would have been very justified, because he was there because of false accusations. He would have been very justified just to get bitter, turn his back on God. But look how he honored God while he was waiting in a prison. He didn't know how much longer he'd have to be in there. But think about some of the ways he honored God while he was waiting. First of all, he was concerned about the other prisoners. He saw that they were worried, they looked upset, and he was concerned about them. And he said, what's wrong? And they said, they had a dream. And he said, well, interpreting dreams is God's business. And he had some level of the ability to interpret dreams. So he used that ability to help someone else. And he must have been known and seen as being trustworthy because the warden put Joseph in charge of other prisoners. Now, I don't think that really happens in a normal prison. Prisoners are not put in charge of anything. Yet Joseph was honoring God with his behavior. And he made this decision to serve others while he was there. It's not intuitive to serve others while you're in a season of delay. Joseph did it. And it's a great example for Jesus of Jesus because Jesus did the same thing. Jesus honored God by serving others while he waited. We know this. Jesus is the Son of God. He came as a man into this world to be the Savior of this world, to be the Messiah, the Son of God, coming fully God, fully man. He came to redeem this world from sin. Every human is a sinner in need of a Savior. And so the only path forward for anyone to find reconciliation between God, because a sinner cannot be in the presence of a holy God. So the only way there was any hope for humans is for Jesus to lay down his life and become a bridge so that people could be reconciled before God. Jesus, his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, that was the sacrifice that was required for the forgiveness of sins. So that was the purpose for why Jesus came. But you know, there was this time that Jesus was waiting to fulfill that purpose. And I want you to see what Jesus did while he was waiting. If you would you go to Matthew chapter 9? Matthew's gospel documents this moment of where Jesus just described what Jesus was doing as he was waiting for his purpose to be fulfilled. Matthew 9 verse 35 just gives us a little window into it. It says this, Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. How did Jesus serve people while he was waiting for his purpose to be fulfilled? Matthew documents this. We see that Jesus went to where people were. He didn't wait for people to come to him. He was moved with compassion. He saw people and he saw that they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And so he was moved to them and he taught them about the good news of the kingdom of God and he healed every sickness and he healed every disease. And he was doing that while he was waiting for his purpose to be fulfilled. He served others. And then he commissioned and he said, there needs to be more workers that are gonna do the same work that I'm doing. So Joseph was an example of how to honor God by serving others while he waited patiently. Jesus, it points to Jesus honoring God, honoring the Father, serving others while he waited patiently. So it brings me to the question, how can we honor God in a season of waiting? Maybe you're in a season of waiting right now. How can you honor God in that season? I wanna give you three steps that I think will help. And I wanna encourage you to write these down. Number one, trust God's timing, which is often gradually and then suddenly. God's timing is perfect, but often it feels slow. Often it can feel like, is there anything going on? I was talking to a couple in our church recently, Derek and Ashley Diener, and they have this calling on their life to use films to tell redemptive stories. And they're trying to break into an industry that is not very friendly to those kind of stories, unless you follow the standards of Hollywood. And so they've been working on this film, and I think they recorded it in 2021. And so they have this movie ready to go, and they're working on distribution right now. And so I was talking to them recently. I said, man, 3 years, that's a long time to wait. And they said, well, yeah, it's been 3 years since it's been finished, but actually the script was written over 10 years ago. And so I was like, well, what are you learning about patience and perseverance? And Derek said, I don't know what I'm learning about that. But I do know this, every day I try to do something that's gonna move us closer to the finish line. What a perspective. Waiting patiently is not just doing nothing. It's also not trying to force God's timing, but it's being faithful right where you are. And here's what I know about God's timing. When it's time for that movie to be seen, God's gonna open that door. It's gonna happen suddenly. Because when God opens the door, it's a door that no man can shut. And if you're waiting on something, God to open a door, trust God's timing. Because when God opens that door, it's a door no man can shut. And when God closes a door, that's a door no man can open. I wanna encourage you to trust God's timing. Number two, you're in a season of waiting. Focus on what you can learn instead of what is lost. Oh, this is so hard for me. It is so easy to see what is lost when I'm in a time of waiting. When I feel like I'm in a time of delay. It's so easy to just think that time is wasted time. What could have I done over the last period of time? But here's a question to ask yourself. How is God using this delay to prepare me for a greater purpose in the future? What could God be developing in me right now that would prepare me for a greater purpose that God wants to do? He sees the big picture, we don't. And so I want us to have a perspective. What can I learn in this season of waiting? It's not wasted. And then finally, number three, focus on who you can serve instead of being self-absorbed. You know, period of time of waiting or delay, it's so tempting. There's a strong drift to being self-absorbed or self-focused, self-centered. And the way to overcome that or combat that self-centeredness is to look at who can I serve? Who is in proximity that you can help? Whose dreams could you support while you're waiting for God to fulfill your dream? It's not easy. It's what God calls us to do as followers of Jesus. And my prayer is for us as a church that we would grow in how to wait patiently for God's timing. God's given you a dream in your heart. He's put a vision inside of you. But you feel like you're in a season of waiting and it feels like a prison. In the meantime, what would it look like to serve others? Who is around you that you could serve and be a part of their supporting their dreams? It's a great opportunity we all have. Man, would you bow your heads? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. I'm grateful. It's an anchor that will not change, will hold us. God, I thank you for this challenge today. God, I pray for those who may be in a season of delay, whether it's been a few months or a few years. They had a picture in their mind of what their life would look like, but they don't see it. God, today I pray, we just wanna be tuned into your Holy Spirit. What are you speaking through your word? God, for some, there's gonna be a clear leading of a person to serve, a person to support their dream while waiting for the promise to be fulfilled. God, would you make that clear? I also believe there's gonna be a deeper level of trust in your timing. May feel gradually, but it's gonna be suddenly. And it's when the time is right. But God, ultimately, we just wanna have a heart of humility that says, teach us, develop, help us grow. A lot to learn. That's preparing us for what's ahead. So I pray that we would have that posture of being teachable, humility, learning, growing. Like James says, count it all joy when you face troubles, trials, tests. That's where the faith is developed. So God, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Would you keep your heads bowed just for a moment? I want to give you an opportunity today. If you're here and you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, I want to give you that opportunity today to make that decision. You might be here and you think, man, I got a lot of messes to clean up in my life before I make this decision. And what I'm here to tell you is that you come to Jesus just as you are. And Jesus accepts you just as you are. And then he invites you on this journey to follow him and not your own desires. And to surrender your life to him and turn from your selfish ways and repent of your sin. And that decision will lead to the greatest level of peace and joy, purpose for your life, freedom. Not to do whatever you want, but to understand that God has an amazing purpose on your life and you're bringing your life under his lordship. And I want you to experience that. What a gift it is. Nothing that we did to earn it. It's because Jesus was obedient to his Father, gave up his life so that we could have life. If you're ready to make that decision today, I want to lead you in a prayer, and I'm going to invite you to repeat this prayer out loud. Because you're ready to make that decision. And I'm gonna invite everyone to pray it just so nobody's praying alone. Would you just say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. I believe he is the Son of God. Came to this earth, died on a cross, was buried in a tomb, and rose from the dead. I repent of my sins. Turn from my selfish ways. Receive forgiveness. And choose Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. You can all look up. If you prayed that prayer today and you sincerely meant that, no matter what your background of church is, what your understanding of church is, the Bible says that you've been born again. And we wanna walk with you as a church. And so the ushers have a Bible for you. That's what they're holding up. If you made that decision today, would you have the courage just to put your hand up in the air, unashamed of this decision, and receive that Bible? I saw a couple hands. Come on, can we celebrate these decisions today? This is a decision that puts your life on a new path. And we don't want you to walk that path alone. So after the service, we have a connections rooms. I want to encourage you to take that Bible, go to either one on either side of the auditorium. We have a team of people in there that would love to talk with you and pray with you and help you on this journey. And then your next step, if you made a decision to follow Jesus, your next step is to be water baptized. That is a decision where you identify with Jesus and his death, burial, and resurrection. So you physically go down in the water and you come out and it is like a line in the sand saying, I am all in, no turning back. So if you've never been water baptized, I wanna encourage you to take that step and you can sign up for water baptism, our class. You can go online, worshipcenter.org/water baptism, and we'd love to help you take that step. All right, well, are you thankful for God's word today? And I pray it speaks to your heart. I want to take just a moment to worship, so would you stand? Worship is a time where we let the word of God settle into our hearts, and whatever God may be speaking to you today, take just a few moments before we leave and just say, God, I want to surrender to that leading. And so worship allows us to do that.